treat the millennium with all the respect that it's due as a subject. We really need today to finalize what is going to happen when Jesus returns to this earth to set up His kingdom. Last Sunday night, we looked at 10 things regarding the thousand-year reign of Christ. We're going to look at 10 more today, but before we do that, for the benefit of those of you who weren't with us last Sunday evening, I would like to just briefly speed through these 10 things. Jesus one day is going to return at the end of the seven-year tribulation to planet Earth, and according to the prophecy of Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4, we just read it a moment ago, Christ is going to rule for 1,000 years on this planet. He is going to literally be here in His resurrected body, and we are going to be here to live and reign with Him on the earth for the millennium. Milla is the word for 1,000, annum is the word for years. And so let me give you what we studied last Sunday night to begin with during the millennial kingdom. And we're not going to turn to these scripture verses. Time will not permit it. But in Revelation 20, 1, 2, and 3, during the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years. He's going to be put under the earth in a place called the bottomless pit. Sin will still be on the earth during the millennium because, as we'll see in a moment, there will be mortal people to be on the earth as well as immortal people, and these mortals are going to give birth to children who will be born with a sin nature, and consequently, there will still be sin on the earth, but Satan is going to be bound for the duration of the millennium. Number two, according to Isaiah 2, verses 2 and 3, the worldwide capital during the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth is going to be Jerusalem, the city of the great king. Number three, Christ is going to reign in a literal temple from a throne in this city called Jerusalem. There He'll be, right there in Jerusalem, reigning on the throne of David in a brand new temple. Number four, Isaiah 65, 21, 22, and 23 tell us that for the first time since Adam and Eve were placed on the earth, during the millennial kingdom, there's going to be worldwide economic prosperity all over the world. Number five, the world is going to have a unified language. Everyone on earth during the 1,000-year reign of Christ will speak the same language. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9 is your verse of reference there, and I think it's going to be kind of like the Tower of Babel in reverse. When Genesis chapter 11 tells us that men tried to build a tower unto God, God confused their language, and they were scattered over the length and breadth of the earth. During the 1,000-year reign of Jesus, the world is going to speak one language again. We don't know what it's going to be. Number six, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4 says, during the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, the world will enjoy true peace. No more war. Listen to Isaiah 2, verse 4. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not rise up against nation anymore, and they will not learn war any longer. Number seven, there will be, according to Ezekiel 47, 1 through 12, a healing stream to flow from the throne of Jesus in Jerusalem down through the Judean Valley into the Dead Sea. And according to Ezekiel 47, 1 through 12, the Dead Sea is going to come to life. I told our folks last Sunday night here in the worship service that the Dead Sea has no life in it, primarily because the Dead Sea consists of 33% salt content. Compare that with the Atlantic Ocean that has 4% salt content, and you understand why the Dead Sea produces no life. during the millennial reign of Jesus on the earth, the Dead Sea is going to be touched by this healing stream, and it'll teem with fish and all sorts of marine life. Amazing prophecy in Ezekiel 47, 1 through 12. Number 8, an unusual thing will happen during the millennium. There will be mortal people and immortal people living on the earth together. Now, allow me just a moment to explain this. When we get raptured into heaven, we get our resurrected, immortal, eternal bodies. We go to heaven for 7 years during the tribulation. We will come back with Christ in our immortal bodies to start the millennial kingdom. There will be other people who will not make it in the rapture. They'll be left behind. Many of them will be saved during the tribulation by the preaching of the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. They're going to go through the tribulation, many of them, and they're not going to be martyred by the Antichrist. Many of them will be. Many will go through and they will survive the tribulation, and they will go right into the millennial kingdom as mortals in flesh and blood and bone, kind of human bodies that we have today. And they're going to dwell together as mortals during the millennium. They're going to have children during the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And they're going to be dwelling together with those of us in immortal bodies. It's going to be very unusual. Number 9, Matthew 19:28 says that the 12 apostles, Jesus shared this with Matthew and the other apostles, all of them were given this special promise that during the millennial kingdom, they will reign with Jesus and judge the 12 tribes of Israel during the millennium. And then in Revelation 2:26, the church is also going to reign with Christ during the millennium. Now, let's go to number 11. Join me in Romans 8. Hurry over to Romans 8, and let me give you one of the most amazing prophecies of the millennial kingdom. And here it is, Romans 8. The earth is going to be restored to a Garden of Eden kind of beauty. Romans 8:21. This earth has its best days coming, according to Romans 8:21 and 22. Look at this. Romans 8:21 and 22. Paul is going to prophesy of a restoration or a regeneration of planet Earth. Right now, planet Earth is sick. One day she's going to be healed during the millennial kingdom. Romans 8:21. Look at what Paul wrote. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. You know how creation got corrupt? Sin. Adam and Eve falling in the Garden of Eden. And because they did, listen to what God did to the earth in Genesis 3:17. God has cursed the earth. Right now, planet Earth is under a curse. She's been under a curse since the days of the Garden of Eden. Thorns have infested the ground. God said to Adam and Eve, you're going to be cursed as well. Adam, you're going to have to work with the sweat of your brow to make a living. He said to Eve, you are now going to be cursed with pain and childbirth. Man has been cursed. The earth has been cursed. The soil has been cursed. Even the animal kingdom has been cursed. But during the millennial kingdom, God told us in verse number 21 and verse number 22 that the curse is going to be lifted. Look at verse 22, Romans 8. We know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs even until now. Creation is groaning under the curse, and God promised one day the curse would be lifted. Can you imagine how the earth is going to look after the curse has been removed from it? It's going to look like the Garden of Eden again. Join me in Isaiah 35. Go over there quickly. Quite a bit of scripture today. Just hang in with me for a few moments and look at these encouraging words. Isaiah 35. I want you to see all of this in front of you. It's that important. Isaiah 35, 1 and 2. I'll give you a moment to get there. Isaiah 35, 1 and 2. Some of these verses are going to sound familiar because we've read them before in Isaiah. We even have some praise choruses and hymns from these millennial verses. Look at this. Isaiah 35, 1 and 2. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. Look over in Isaiah 55, verses 12 and 13. Isaiah 55, 12 and 13. Hope you brought your Bibles with you. Always keep in mind there's one in front of you in the pew rack if you didn't bring yours. Isaiah 55, 12 and 13. Bill, I need a little more juice on this microphone down here, if you would, just a little more volume. Isaiah 55, 12 and 13. Thank you. Look at this. Now, this one's familiar to many of you. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth with singing before you. And all the trees of the field will what? Clap their hands. Instead of the thorn, which came about as a result of the fall in the Garden of Eden, instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come forth the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. All the trees of the field will clap their hands. We sing that praise chorus here at Boger City Baptist Church on occasion. The crops are going to be lavish and large as the earth is restored to that Garden of Eden kind of beauty. Let me tell you what happened with Apollo 11. July 1969, she blasted off for the moon. Neil Armstrong, Michael Collins, Buzz Aldrin. Armstrong and Aldrin get on lunar soil, and NASA in Houston told them that they're to bring back all kinds of samples from the moon, rocks and soil. They brought back lunar soil, and let me tell you what happened. NASA did a plethora of experiments on the lunar rocks and soil that were brought back, and they planted some seeds in lunar soil and compared it with the Earth and the soil of planet Earth. Do you know that in some cases, that soil from the moon grew plants from the seeds 7 times quicker, 7 times larger than the soil from the Earth? The NASA scientists were befuddled. They couldn't figure it out. Finally, somebody remembered what Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 said, God cursed the soil of the earth. Nowhere in Scripture does God tell us He cursed the soil of the moon, but He did curse the soil of the earth. The earth is groaning this morning. You cannot hear it. But Paul said in Romans chapter 8, all of creation is groaning under the heavy weight of the curse that God put on planet earth. Now, people usually groan when they want to be delivered. Men, if you've had wives who've had babies, and you've been in there in the delivery room, you've heard her groaning. She's groaning because she wants to be delivered of that baby. I go in the nursing homes all the time. I hear the groaning of elderly people who want to be delivered from the body that is betraying them. You ever had a kidney stone? Raise your hand if you're a member of the Kidney Stone Club. Can I see you? If you've ever had a kidney stone, you know what the groaning is to want to be delivered from a kidney stone. I want you to know right now, planet Earth is groaning under the weight of the curse that God put on it. And according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the body we live in right now is groaning to be delivered from the curse that is on it. We get older, we get sicker, we get weaker. Do you know that one day when Jesus returns, God will lift the curse? And I want you to imagine for a moment the most beautiful place you've ever been. For me, it's probably either Alaska or the Virgin Islands. Beautiful. Just love it. Just breathe in all of that glory and all of that majesty and all the beauty of God's creation. The entire world is going to be restored to a pristine beauty that is going to be beyond human comprehension. Number 12, or for today's outline, number 2, I just want you to write down this verse. We're not going to turn there. During the millennial kingdom, there will be no sickness. The verse of reference is Isaiah 33 and verse 24. Let me just quote it for you. The inhabitant of the earth, Isaiah 33, 24, will no longer say, I am sick. Imagine a world where sickness is not going to have sway any longer. Those people on the earth during the millennial kingdom, we will call the mortals. They go into the kingdom from the tribulation without dying, and they reproduce and have children. They're simply going to die of old age and natural causes, not of sickness. Those of us with new bodies during the millennial kingdom will never die again. Number 3, write down Isaiah 35, 4 through 6 and go there. Number 3, there will be no deformity during the millennial kingdom. Isaiah 35, hurry over there. I want you to see this one in front of you. Isaiah 35, 4 through 6. What a wonderful world this is going to be during the regeneration. Isaiah 35, look at these verses, 4, 5, and 6. All of this has to do with the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. Isaiah 35, look at verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. That didn't happen yet. There are blind people on this earth. Then the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. That hadn't happened yet. It's going to. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. This is a prophecy of one day Jesus returning, and there will be no deformity again on the earth. No canes, no wheelchairs, no children with birth defects, no blinded eyes or deaf ears or lame legs or dumb tongues, because the great physician, the Lord Jesus, will be seated upon the throne. Number 4, mortals during the 1,000-year reign of Christ are going to live much longer lives. There will be people born during the 1,000-year reign of Jesus who will live exceedingly long lives. Now, you know our forefathers. You go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 5, and you read about Methuselah living to be 969 years of age, and Adam and Eve lived into their 900s. You know that during the millennial kingdom, when the earth has been restored, men will live longer lives. One reason is because the earth is going to be a pristine kind of place all over again. There won't be any pollutants or chemicals or preservatives in the foods. Join me in Isaiah 65. Hang around Isaiah, because he of all the prophets wrote more about the millennial kingdom than anyone else. Look at Isaiah 65 and verse number 20. This is an amazing prophecy of the millennial kingdom. Isaiah chapter 65, and look at verse number 20. Now, some people read this and they don't know how to interpret this. It's a little bit confusing, but Isaiah 65, 20 says this: No more shall an infant from there live but a few days. No more crib deaths. No more SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. Nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. Now, what on earth does that mean? Let me interpret that for you. It means that if someone dies during the millennium at age 100, it's considered a premature death. It's exactly what this means. If you live to be 100 years old in our day and age, that is a lengthy life. You've lived a long, long time, not during the millennium. If you died age 100 as a mortal during the 1,000-year reign of Jesus, it's considered a premature kind of death. Longevity of life, number 5. Boy, this is encouraging. Join me in Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah 11. You get the impression God gave Isaiah all kinds of insight about the millennium because, again, he more than any other prophet talks about it. Here's number 5. The animal kingdom is going to live in peace and harmony again for the first time since the Garden of Eden. I'm going to tell you again, the fall not only affected humanity and the earth, the animal kingdom was adversely affected by the fall. Do you know that during the days of the Garden of Eden, before Adam and Eve fell, animals didn't kill each other? Let me tell you what I hate to watch. You ever been channel surfing and you'll come across the National Geographic Channel and these animals are chasing each other and eating each other? Don't you hate that? I mean, I don't get any joy out of seeing lions chasing antelope and eating them and destroying them. You see that all the time now on some of these cable channels. Before the fall of man, animals didn't kill each other. In fact, listen to this. Before the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, there was no death, period. None. No leaves fell from the trees and died in the Garden of Eden before the fall. Man didn't get older. Man didn't die. Animals didn't get older in the Garden of Eden. They didn't die. And so Isaiah is going to remind us in chapter 11 of his book that during the 1,000-year reign of Jesus on the earth, the animal kingdom is going to live in peace and harmony. Look at Isaiah 11, 6. The wolf will dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. You've heard that verse all your life. It comes right out of Isaiah 11, 6. A little child shall lead them. Verse 7, the cow and the bear shall graze. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. Peace, harmony, no death. Look at this. The weaning child shall put his hand in the viper's den. Look at verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You've heard that verse. The lion shall lie down with the lamb. Now, if that happens today, the lamb is usually the hors d'oeuvre. Amen? Not during the millennial kingdom. The animal kingdom will be in harmony once again. Number 6. Turn to Isaiah 30. Boy, this is unusual. There's going to be an increase in the light of the sun and the moon during the 1,000-year reign of Jesus. Look at this amazing prophecy. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 26. Most people don't even know this is in the Word of God, but here it is right here. Isaiah 30, 26. This has to refer to the millennial kingdom. Moreover, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun. Did you catch that? The light of the moon during the kingdom of Jesus on this earth, he is going to be as the light of the sun. And the light of the sun will be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. You know, that would explain why the earth is going to be restored to such beauty and why the crops and the trees and the plants are going to grow to be so gargantuan and why it's going to look like the Garden of Eden all over again. Number 7, let me hurry. Write down Joel 2, 28. I'm just going to quote this one for you. Number 7. During the millennial kingdom, the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on all people. Joel 2, 28 says that the Spirit of God is going to be poured out on all flesh. For the first few years of the 1,000-year reign of Jesus on the earth, the Spirit of God is going to inhabit this world in such a powerful way that everyone will be filled with the Spirit of God. Immortals, those of us who were living during the 1,000-year reign of Jesus in our glorified body, we're going to be filled with the Spirit, and all the mortal people on the earth will be as well. Now, later on, as you get into the millennial kingdom, and I'm going to talk about this in closing, these mortals who go into the kingdom from the tribulation will produce children. And some of them are going to rebel. But during the first few years of the 1,000-year reign of Jesus, the Spirit of God will be poured out on all flesh. Number 8, join me in Zechariah 14. Number 8, during the 1,000-year reign of Jesus, no matter where you live on this earth, you're going to be required to take a yearly pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Zechariah, turn there, latter part of the Old Testament. Zechariah talks about the millennium as well. And look what he says in Zechariah chapter 14. Now, if you've never been to Israel, in this life, you're going to during the millennial kingdom, I promise you. You're going to be required to go up to Jerusalem. Zechariah 14. Let's read this one together. Look at verse 16. Zechariah 14, 16. It shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. I don't know where you're going to live during the millennial kingdom. Here's one thing I do know. You're going to live in a glorified body. When will you get it? When Christ returns in the rapture. We go up to be with Jesus for 7 years in heaven, come back to start the millennial kingdom. We'll have glorified, sinless, eternal bodies. And every year we're going to be required to go to Jerusalem and worship Jesus on His throne. Imagine that. To walk into that temple in Jerusalem and see the King on His throne. Now, you know how you're going to be able to get there? I've been to Israel 3 times, and the only way to get there, well, you can get there by boat if you chose to, but flying is the best way, the easiest way, the quickest way. You will have immortal bodies, and in order to get there, all you'll have to do is think, and you'll be there. You'll have a body like Jesus. Do you remember that body on Easter Sunday morning? It came out of the grave and Jesus said to Mary, I've got to ascend to my Father in heaven. Don't detain me. I've got business in heaven. And Jesus was gone. Then he came back to the earth that afternoon and walked on the road to Emmaus with those disciples. And he broke bread with them. And then according to Luke 24, he vanished out of their sight. And just a few hours later, he reappeared in the upper room that Easter Sunday evening to be with his disciples. Just materialized right there in their midst We're going to have a body just like Jesus, immortal, glorified, eternal. And during the millennial kingdom, we'll be able to get all over this earth from one place to another. We go anywhere we choose to just by thinking it will be there because we'll be in an immortal, resurrected, eternal body. Amazing to think about. Number nine, during the 1,000-year reign of Jesus, listen to this, there will be rebellion on the earth by mortal people who grow up during the millennium because they're going to have sin natures. And according to the Word of God, all rebellion during the millennial kingdom of Jesus is going to be put down and dealt with. And the Word of God is going to be the standard of judgment. Look in Isaiah 11. We're going to hurry and finish. But look in Isaiah chapter 11. These mortals are going to reproduce. They're going to have children with sin natures. How long did it take you parents to find out that your children were sinners when they came into the world? Not long. Children are born with a sin nature. By the way, you know who gave it to them? You did. You know who gave you your sin nature? Your parents. And their parents gave it to them, and their parents gave it to them, and you can trace it all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve gave us, passed it on down, our sin nature to us. Well, look at Isaiah 11, and look at verse number 3. Jesus is on the throne during the millennial kingdom. And according to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 3, there will be insurrection and rebellion during this millennial kingdom, but God is going to deal with it, and the standard of judgment is going to be His holy word. Do you know what our standard in America is for the government? It is the Constitution of the United States of America. But as I told our folks last Sunday evening, during the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, this book will be the standard of judgment. God is going to judge according to His word. Jesus will be king. There will be no Congress to foul things up. There will be no Republicans or Democrats or socialists or fascists. Jesus will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to rule and reign. He will be president, prime minister, potentate, king, Lord, Congress, Secretary of State. He's going to be everything rolled into one. And according to Isaiah chapter 11 in verse 3, when there is rebellion, it is going to be dealt with. And this book will be the standard of judgment. Look at Isaiah 11, 3. His delight will be in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But look at verse 4. With righteousness he will judge. He's going to rule with this book. Read on. He will decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. The sword of the Lord, the rod of God, which will be His word, and with the breath of His lips, He shall slay the wicked. Look at verse 5. Righteousness shall be the belt of His loins, and faithfulness the belt of His waist. Here's one more in closing. Number 10. Turn to Revelation 20. We got a big problem. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is going to be let out of jail temporarily. Now remember what happened to him. At the beginning of the millennial kingdom, he's thrown into the pit, the abyss, for 1,000 years. But look in Revelation 27. When the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. And he will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. They're called Gog and Magog. Here's what he's going to do. He's going to be let out of his pit, and he's going to gather some of these mortal people during the millennium to come against the throne of Jesus to overthrow Christ. Look at this. To gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. Going to be a lot of them. They will go up on the breadth of the earth and surround the camp of the saints and the beloved city. That's Jerusalem. And fire is going to come down from God out of heaven and devour them. Can I remind you of Satan and his first strike? Isaiah 14 tells us that Satan, who was Lucifer at that time on the earth, decided he was going to ascend into heaven and overthrow God. God kicked him out of heaven. He became the devil. Those angels that cast their lot with him are now called demons. That was strike number one. Then you get over to Revelation 12, and there's a second number of strikes. Because in Isaiah chapter 14, strike one, he was thrown out of heaven. Lucifer became the devil. Then halfway through the seven-year tribulation, here's strike number two. Satan is thrown out of heaven for good, halfway through the tribulation, cast down to the earth. Strike number three, the end of the millennial kingdom. He's let out of jail. One more assault against the throne of Jesus in Jerusalem. And look what God is going to do. Fire is going to come down out of heaven, according to verse number nine, and destroy all of these people who cast their lot with Satan, these mortals who rebel against the throne of Jesus. Now, don't confuse this, folks, with the Battle of Armageddon. That isn't what this is. And don't confuse this with other battles that go on during the tribulation. These are the disobedient mortals during the millennial kingdom. And folks, I'm going to tell you, it's hard to understand how anyone during the thousand-year reign of Jesus would disobey and come against the throne of Jesus. But it's going to happen. Hard to believe they're going to rebel against Christ. But this rebellion is going to be put down. And I want you to highlight, underline, put a star beside Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 10. Because here is the ultimate final end for the devil. Look at verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Bye-bye, Satan. Isn't that amazing? E.V. Hill, the great black preacher, and only he could put it this way. I can't mimic him, but I'm going to try. E.V. Hill, in a great sermon he preached years ago, maybe you've never heard of that great African-American preacher, but he said in preaching on Revelation chapter 20 in verse 10, he said, on that great day when the devil is cast into the lake of fire and brimstone forever, I'm just going to ask God to let me be a pallbearer. Amen? I want to have a part in toting him to the lake of fire and brimstone and throwing him in and saying, bye-bye, devil. Forever he is going to perish and be destroyed in the lake of fire and brimstone. He made his first appearance as Satan in Genesis chapter 3 when he tempted Adam and Eve to sin. Now he's going to be banished forever. But would you listen to me? Right after the devil is thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone forever, God has unfinished business with every unbeliever who has ever lived on planet Earth. Just before eternity begins and we dwell in the New Jerusalem forever with Jesus, I want you to read before next Sunday morning Revelation 20, 11 through 15, as every unsaved person who ever lived is going to stand in the courtroom of God and be judged guilty for their sins and cast into the lake of fire. That is the subject next Sunday morning as we look at the court of God Almighty in session. Would you bow your heads for a moment?